You're listening to a podcast hosted by Med Learning Group.
Welcome to the SmartCast Microlearning Podcast Series on metastatic hormone-sensitive prostate cancer, hosted by Med Learning Group. My name is Kia Jones, and I'm a medical director at Med Learning Group. This podcast is the second of three podcasts in the series titled Improving the Overall Safety and Quality of Care for Your Patients with Metastatic Hormone-Sensitive Prostate Cancer. How does your approach compare with the experts? This series will be hosted by Dr. Andrew Armstrong, a medical oncologist and professor of medicine at Duke Cancer Institute in Durham, North Carolina. And with that, let's go ahead and get started.
Thank you, Kia, and welcome to part two. I'm Andy Armstrong, a medical oncologist at Duke, and I'm honored to be joined by Dr. Ryan Fecteau, an expert radiation oncologist and colleague of mine here at Duke in radiation oncology. We're going to have a discussion about multidisciplinary care, shared decision-making, and how we apply evidence-based medicine to our real-world setting in the care of men with metastatic hormone-sensitive prostate cancer. Ryan, welcome to the podcast. And let me just kick this off, you know, by saying that, you know, we've covered in our other podcasts, you know, the really rapidly changing and evolving systemic therapies, which are massively improving survival, either with doublet or triplet therapy now. But I'm sure you're seeing pretty amazing changes in your own practice, as well as other radiation oncologists around the country. Can you talk a little bit about how, you know, the STAMPEDE trial, HORAD, and other, you know, radiation trials to the primary has really changed your practice?
Yeah. And first of all, thanks for having me on. And it's a pleasure to be here. And I think, yeah, there's been a lot of changes in terms of how we approach patients, you know, in the metastatic setting, especially over the last, I don't know, decade. When I see patients for consult now, a lot of times, you know, if it's a patient with newly diagnosed metastatic prostate cancer, you know, we have a discussion about not all metastatic diseases created equal. And, you know, we expect that there's a good opportunity to have a good outcome, you know, still, even if you're metastatic from the get-go. So, you know, that I usually start the conversation there, and then we sort of review how things have changed in terms of the radiation approach, and that, you know, from the trials we mentioned, like HORAD and STAMPEDE, it used to be that once you were metastatic, a lot of people, you know, a lot of very smart radiation oncologists and oncologists thought that there was really no role for, you know, treating the primary, so treating the prostate. And then what these recent trials have shown is that for well-selected patients, there can be a real benefit to prostate-directed therapy, and that it improves, you know, progression-free survival, improves overall survival, and it decreases the risk of progression to castrate resistance. So, a lot of times that's where we've seen probably the biggest shift, is that in patients where we would just probably start systemic therapy before, and then, you know, maybe I would see them if there was progression, they need palliative radiation or something like that. And now it's a lot of patients, we start them on systemic therapy, or you start them on systemic therapy, I should say. And then they come back in a couple months and we treat the prostate. And that's, I think that's become now standard of care for, you know, the sort of low burden oligometastatic hormone sensitive prostate cancer patients. So,
yeah, I totally agree with that. Maybe as a radiation oncologist, for those medical oncologists listening, you could tell us exactly, you know, how you do the radiation. You know, STAMPEDE had several different approaches. You know, there's now data for SBRT, there's emerging data that hypofractionation is, you know, safe and effective and obviously much more convenient. You know, when you talk to patients, what are you generally offering here at Duke, you know, in terms of radiation when you have a metastatic patient?
Yeah, great question. And it, again, that sort of depends on the scenario, but really just two regimens when we're talking about prostate-directed radiation in the oligometastatic setting. And it's the STAMPEDE trial used 55 gray and 20 fractions, which is a sort of standard hypofrac regimen that you just mentioned. And then The other one they use was a little bit different. Something that you really only see in the UK is sort of SBRT type approach, where they did 6 fractions and patients were treated weekly. So it was over the course of 6 weeks. Here, if we're going to do a shorter approach, I usually just do 5 fractions and do it, you know, get it done in a week and a half. The approach, it's not, it doesn't really, you know, there's no data to suggest that is going to change, you know, the outcome. And I think it's just a little more convenient. It still tends to be well tolerated. So
every other day for about a week and a half.
Yeah, exactly. My approach is, if patients, you know, mainly I do the SBRT type approach when prostate's not too large. So, you know, we're not worried about toxicity from that. If they don't have lymph nodes that need to be treated, and so we're just directing, you know, radiation to the prostate. In patients, you know, we're on Stampede and on HORAD, they could have had lymph nodes positive in their pelvis, obviously. And even though they weren't routinely treating the prostate and the pelvis, for patients where, you know, most of the disease is confined there, say they have a couple lymph nodes positive and just one bone met or something like that, I think it makes sense to consolidate everything because, you know, we obviously expect them to have a good outcome. And so for them, I'll use the more hypofractionated regimen, the 20 fractions, and we'll treat the nodes as well.
That's great. I want to push you on a controversial topic that we see every day, is the PSMA PET scan, and whether there's, you know, how you use the data from Stampede to apply it to the real world. Is there a cutoff for the number of bone metastases or metastatic sites that you use to offer or not offer radiation to the primary? I know, you know, 5 or 6 was kind of the magic number for survival. But there is a continuum there, you know, even up to 8 or 9 patients had a progression-free survival benefit. And certainly, you know, a lot of us are getting PSMA PETs, and none of that data was in the trial. So, you know, what are you using in the real world?
Yeah, that's a good question. And as you know, like, so Stampede was conventional imaging, right? So obviously when we have PSMA PET, it's more sensitive, and we're probably picking up more sites of disease. And, you know, generally, I look at it in 2 ways. One, number of metastases at time of diagnosis. And if it's obviously 5 or less, I think immediately they're a good candidate. If they have more than that, I say, well, you know, either way, you're going to start systemic therapy. If you have a good response, you know, you have a PSA that nadirs nicely, I think that those are, you know, patients that are good candidates, because from the latest data from PEACE 1, you know, that was those were patients with metastatic disease at diagnosis, but also they were started on androgen intensification, right, as opposed to Stampede, which was just ADT alone. So and I think that showed that really, even in the high metastatic burden patients, they benefited from prostate-directed therapy by reducing the risk of progression in the prostate, and also the rate of castrate resistance. So I think if they, you know, you sort of biology test and say, well, if you have a good response to systemic therapy, you're probably a good candidate.
Yeah, I agree with that. I mean, the prostate is where the cancer started, and probably the greatest bulk of the cancer is going to be in the prostate for patients with really low volume metastatic disease, and is a source of metastatic spread of cancer evolution, the theory behind eradicating that site. And we'll talk about metastasis directed therapy, but the theory behind this is that these are contributing sites to resistance later, and delaying progression has been demonstrated with radiation, of course, to the primary, but also to metastatic sites. So let's move on to metastatic sites. This is probably the most controversial area. There's really 2 fields. You know, one is the systemic therapy field, which is moving more towards treatment intensification early with doublet ARSI or even triplet, and emerging therapies around PSMA lutetium or, you know, PARP inhibitors, docetaxel. And then there's a different field that's kind of, you see the PSMA positive areas and oligometastatic patients, and applying radiotherapy or even surgery to try to avoid systemic therapy. You know, do you see these fields converging, or are they really separate?
You mean converging in terms of the,
like, combining an approach, you know, kind of like EMBARK, where, you know, you apply systemic therapy and then you take a break. And, you know, I know in our practice, we're often radiating metastatic sites and, you know, trying to combine data sets in a way.
One of the biggest changes in the last 5 years, right? When the OligoMets trials started to publish, Sabre Comet, the Orioles Stomp, and looking at radiation for metastasis-directed therapy. And there's a lot of open questions. I think that the data currently would suggest that, right, you can use metastasis-directed therapy as a way to sort of defer additional systemic therapy. Say they have an oligo recurrence, you would say maybe one or two sites after they've been off of systemic therapy for some time. And, they're saying, well, I'd really like to defer getting back on hormone therapy or something else. And from the Stomp and Orioles data, that would suggest that they can probably use radiation to consolidate the sites of metastatic disease and usually defer additional systemic therapy for at least 12 months, maybe longer. Obviously there's going to be some patients where, and that's an area that we're also trying to figure out, who's going to derive the biggest benefit, right, from metastasis directed therapy. So, and then in terms of using this or sort of as a combined modality approach, I think that, the data there's some trials like there's a Zhitug trial, the oligo pelvis, looking at oligo recurrence just located in, pelvic lymph nodes, and also ongoing studies where we don't really know if there's what the overall benefit of systemic therapy plus metastasis directed therapy or metastasis directed therapy alone. I suspect that obviously the benefit, there's going to be a greater benefit when you have sort of the combined approach, you know, when you're consolidating all sides of the disease plus systemic therapy. But again, I think a lot of that will be patient selection. Right. And then, but I do think that over the next couple of years, there will be some exciting data that's published, and we'll have a better grip on, like, which patients are going to be derive the greatest benefit from metastasis directed therapy.
Yeah. Thanks, Ryan. I've been particularly compelled by, you know, very recent publications like the ARTO trial, even in the castration resistant setting, that applying metastasis-directed radiotherapy on top of best systemic therapy, in that case, abiraterone, delayed progression-free survival significantly. The STAMPEDE 2 trial is a pretty large national UK study that's looking at, you know, metastasis-directed therapy layered on top of best systemic therapy, as well as, you know, more smart radiation, I guess you could say, you know, systemic radiation with PSMA lutetium and these oligometastatic, you know, kind of PSMA only disease settings. There's also data, you know, that you can stop systemic therapy in some of these patients, and patients can enjoy a long treatment holiday, like in the EMBARK study, where ADT enzalutamide in non-metastatic patients delayed metastasis-free survival. More than 70-80% of those patients achieved a PSA zero. And then when they took a break from ADT enza, they got about 20-21 months off therapy, which was great for these patients. And if you could provide an additional time period off therapy by radiating the visible sites, either by conventional or PSMA avid lesions, I mean, we all know that the PSMA PET scan can't see everything. But in some patients, it sees the vast majority of disease, and it may be possible to cure some patients, you know, where all lesions have been treated. We just don't have the data yet in this metastatic setting about who we can actually cure, who can reasonably stop therapy after they've achieved remission. But I think some of these trials are really pushing the envelope towards efficacy and, you know, eventually being able to stop therapy. I would say the standard of care now, though, is to treat until progression. But an emerging standard is get patients into remission and then consider, you know, stopping, if particularly if you've applied metastasis-directed therapy.
Yeah. Yeah, sort of using radiation as one of the intensification, you know, therapies. And I think that, a lot, you know, some of this is how do we, when do we stop systemic therapy? And I think that, as you alluded to, when patient, we can use PSA, right? If they have a good response and it becomes undetectable, other biomarkers of response, it'll be interesting to see how some of these other things like Decipher or Artera, the artificial intelligence, how if we can apply that in this setting and predict patients who are going to benefit from, you know, prolonged hormone therapy versus maybe they can stop and after having their disease consolidated with radiation. So,
yeah, that's a great point. We're certainly applying, you know, digital pathology AI as well as genomic biomarkers to select patients who may not need as much treatment intensification, but maybe even better is identify those men who have a higher curative rate, you know, with more treatment intensification. Certainly we're seeing from STAMPEDE and other trials that are going to be coming out over the coming years, like ENZARAD, DAZZLE HICAP, ATLAS, where patients, you know, with treatment intensification in a multidisciplinary context, you know, where you apply the radiation, I apply the systemic therapy, with treatment intensification to these high risk and very high risk localized prostate cancer patients, we're seeing higher cure rates, you know, and that's been a huge change in our practice. Would you agree?
Yeah, no, for sure. And I think that, you know, when we're talking to patients and we're trying to select which patients are going to benefit the most, you know, we're looking at things like their disease burden, their PSA response. And also, you know, a lot of it's still a discussion about how aggressive they want to be. We also have to take into consideration competing risks, comorbidities. If you're talking to a patient that's 85, what's their life expectancy? How much are they going to benefit from this therapy? And can we cut back a little bit, you know? Yeah, a lot of it is also just an ongoing discussion with the patients and sort of trying to gauge their sort of aggressiveness or where they are in terms of what they want from treatment.
Brian, thanks for joining me on this podcast. That was a great discussion of multidisciplinary care, you know, moving radiotherapy into newer areas with strong evidence for the patients that we see and their benefits and improving their progression-free and overall survival. Thank you.
Yeah, of course. Thanks for having me, Andy.
And thank you to our listeners for joining us. This podcast was brought to you by Med Learning Group. Med Learning Group is accredited by the Accreditation Council for Continuing Medical Education to provide continuing medical education for physicians. This CME activity was planned and produced in accordance with the ACCME Essentials. I would like to also thank our grant supporter, Janssen, who provided an educational grant for this activity.